to rip the lid off, sugar. You just haven't gotten to that part yet.
Do you have a mama who loves you?
He asked abruptly. I pressed my lips together. He watched. Then he bit out.
Right.
His gaze went from my lips to my eyes.
A daddy?
Marcus! Just at me saying his name, he got me. That's why he interrupted me and went on.
Brothers?
I shook my head.
Sisters?
I bit my lip.
Right.
He repeated softly. Can we watch the movie? I whispered. In response, immediately he sat next to me. He also stretched out his legs, crossed his ankles, and put his arm around me, peeling me into his side. As I was curled into the corner of the sofa, my legs under me, my plate gone, my champagne in my hand, I wasn't able to do anything but teeter more fully into him so he had all my weight. I tried to pull away. I stopped when he announced,
"You move, Daisy, this once, right now, watching this fucking movie, I won't let you."
Well, that was clear enough. Roger that, I muttered.
Settle,
he growled. Oh, boy. I felt that in my coochie, too. I pressed my lips together again and did as told.
Fuck.
He went back to muttering, lifted the remote, and started the movie again. As I told him, within minutes, Weezer and Clary ripped the lid off. Even so, Marcus didn't let me go. He kept hold of me, and he didn't stop. Not for the whole rest of the movie. We stood in my open doorway. Marcus was leaving. I was marveling at the fact that at his texted command, Marcus's men showed, cleared everything, even to the point of cleaning the flutes and putting the plates in the dishwasher. But even if they cleared everything, they put the extra bottle of Dom in the fridge and left the flutes. Then they took off, leaving Marcus and me at the door. I was also marveling at the fact that Marcus didn't mind that I rewound to the locker room scene and played it twice. Since my mind was otherwise occupied, it came as a surprise when his hand fell light as it cupped my cheek. My body jerked and my eyes darted up to his. "Please don't touch me." His hand dropped away, but this time he didn't move away. He shifted closer, in my space, not threatening, not pushy, just there.
"Have you talked to someone?"
he asked gently. "I'm talking to you now," I pointed out.
"About what happened to you, honey?"
I looked to the side.
"Please, darling, look at me."
I pressed my lips together, drew in breath through my nose, and looked up at him again.
"You need to talk to somebody,"
he urged. "I'm doing A-okay," I shared.
"You have trouble with me touching you."
"You find that surprising?" I asked a little sarcastically.
"No. My fear is that if you don't speak to someone about it, you won't be able to get past it."
I shook my head. "Had a lot of shit happen to me in my life, sugar. This is just another load of shit I gotta get around. I make no mistake, like all the others, I'll get around this." His brows went up.
"And it's necessary for you to do it on your own?"
"All a girl's got's herself." That's when Marcus Sloan rocked my world. He did this by declaring,
"You're entirely wrong."
I began, and I got that one letter out, but it didn't count because he talked right over me saying it.
"A woman like you should have a mama who loved her, a daddy who adored her, friends who thought the world of her. She should have grown up every day knowing that straight to her soul, never doubting it, not for a second."
I felt my eyes narrow for no other reason than to beat back what his words were making me feel. "You don't know what kind of girl I am."
"I know precisely the kind of woman you are, Daisy. And if you don't understand it, then it'll be up to me to show it to you."
Oh, Lord. Time to try another tack. Marcus, I'm telling you, you don't gotta play. He put his hand up between us and shook his head, cutting me off, saying an impatient,
"No."
I kept trying. "The food was real good, and it was sweet, you being all..." I didn't know how to express the gorgeousness of it, so I used the universal whatever with me when Malin lost it at Shelby's funeral. And I'm not saying I haven't hit a rough patch. I know I have. I'm not in denial or nothing. I'm working through it, but doing that my way. What I'm saying is, this is sweet and all, but you don't have a place in that.
"You've made that clear. I just don't agree."
Again, I was getting mad. Okay, then, I'll explain it this way. I'm not getting used to some fine man showing me attention, bringing me fancy food, and being sweet, only to hit that time when I get my gold bracelet and a goodbye.
He stared down at me, something flitting through his eyes. Then he murmured, Ah.
Ah, what? I snapped.
It was then he got closer, still not threatening but coming on strong. I held my breath.
It's understandable, in a sense, that you'd say that. You don't know me. But I'll tell you, and then I'll show you, that I am not a man who would come into a woman's life, a woman who had what happened to you happen to her, with the intention of doing what I had to do to get what I wanted and then give her my goodbye.
He drew in a breath and didn't release my gaze when he finished.
Although understandable, it's still insulting as all fuck.
I blinked and felt my stomach twist painfully. He shifted back.
Good night, Daisy.
And with that, he turned, walked down the hall, and disappeared.
Chapter 5. Prince Charming. Daisy. I woke up in a cold sweat, and terrified. I didn't even think. I couldn't coordinate my limbs. So when I moved, I fell off my bed, right to the floor. I crawled half the distance to the door to my bedroom before I found my feet. Once I did, I sprinted to the dinette where I'd left my purse. I snatched out my cell and sprinted back to my room, slamming the door, locking the lock, so lost in my head when I ran across the room I thumped into my bed, falling on top of it. But I didn't hesitate. I scrambled over it and off the other side, hitting the floor on my hands. The cell digging into my palm, I just kept going. My knees falling off the bed, crashing into the floor, I crawled to the corner, turned, pressed my back in, lifted my knees up protectively in front of me, and fumbled my phone as I brought it to my face. I flipped it open and saw it tremble in my hand as I searched for the number I'd programmed in, no matter I knew it was a fool thing to do. I was glad I'd done it then. I hit it, put the phone to my ear, and felt it shaking against the shell. I heard it ring. It rang 4 times, and with each passing one, I wanted to scream before I heard a deep man's voice say,
Yes?
Marcus, I just had a... I gulped. I can't...
Daisy,
he stated urgently.
Is someone there?
No. I was making no sense and didn't even know it. I was too busy realizing that my teeth were chattering, and worse, I couldn't do a thing about it. I sensed vaguely he sounded like he was on the move as he asked,
Where are you?
Bedroom.
Stay there. In a few minutes, the man I have on your apartment will be in your apartment. His name is Louis. He'll call out his name so you'll know he's there. He won't approach. I'll be there as soon as I can.
Oh, okay.
As soon as I can, darling, yes?
Yeah.
I have to let you go now.
Yeah.
Be right there.
He whispered.
Yeah. I repeated, unable to say anything else, trembling so badly I was quaking. I heard the disconnect like it was far away instead of right in my ear, but I didn't take the phone away. I held it there until my hand floated down, the phone still flipped open, and I stared through the dark at the door.
It's Louis!
I heard yelled from my living room, and I jumped, crying out quietly, tucking my knees tight to my chest, wrapping my arms around them.
All clear!
He shouted.
All good! Mr. Sloan is on his way.
I didn't say thank you. I didn't say anything. I didn't think anything either. I didn't think how I'd been a bitch to Marcus after he'd been nothing but kind and patient with me, sending me daisies, bringing me Dom, being gentle and sweet. It had been a week since that night, and I'd heard nothing from him, saw nothing of him. But the daisies kept coming. As they did, I thought it was that he forgot he was sending them, and the minute the bill showed, he'd cancel them. I didn't allow myself to think further on that. For a number of reasons, I'd wanted to call, to apologize. It was what a good Southern woman should do, for one. But it was what I wanted to do. Me, Daisy, for him, Marcus, to make it better, to take it back, to let him know that I wanted to be like Shelby from Steel Magnolias, strong like her, strong enough to know that it was better to have a little bit of something wonderful than a lifetime of just plain nothing. Then explained to him that he had to go because I couldn't allow myself to have a little bit of something wonderful knowing it'd be taken away. I was just not that strong. It wasn't just about a man like Stretch knowing he shouldn't leave me with my mother and doing it anyway. Maybe because he had no claim to me. but mostly I reckon because he wasn't strong enough either. And it wasn't just about Miss Anime giving me all I needed to live my life right, but not being around long enough for me to show her I'd listen to every word. It was about being the kind of girl that the only good thing a man had given her was a really fantastic boob job, and no matter how much she fought and scratched and worked for a little hint of peace in her life, she still got herself raped on the blacktop of a parking lot. So I didn't call Marcus. I didn't apologize. I didn't explain. I thought it best to leave him be. I didn't care what he did for a living. He deserved better. Much, much better than me. The bruising was gone, most of the scrapes had healed, and I was going to go back to the stage next Saturday. I'd wanted to do it that night, but Smithy was not big on that idea. He wanted me to take more time. He wanted me to talk to some woman Letitia had found, a woman named Bix, who worked at some rape crisis center. And then he wanted me to give it a month or two, still paid leave, and he also wanted me to move in with him and Letitia for a spell. I put my foot down. We'd had words. After sharing I was a pain in his ass, he'd given in, but only if I'd give it another week. I could do that, so I'd agreed. But I didn't think of any of that. Not right then, cowering on my ass in the corner of my darkened bedroom. Some man I didn't know in my living room, who another man I'd insulted had watching my apartment to keep me safe. I just stared through the dark at the door, doing it like the fool I was, the coward quaking on my ass in the dark. I heard the knob on the door jostle and then Marcus calling,
"Stay where you are, honey."
That wasn't hard since I couldn't move. There was some muted scraping before light poured in from the living room as the door opened and I winced at the bright. Almost before it illuminated the room, it was gone, and I stared as Marcus's tall shadow moved toward me. I thought he'd stop, and with him there, his man outside, I tried to pull myself together. The humiliation of cringing in a corner beginning to dawn, the feel of it spreading over me. He didn't stop. He made it to me, bent low, gathered me up, and then he went right back down, situating himself exactly as I had been in the corner, but without the trembling, and with me in his lap, held close to his chest, one arm tight around me, the other one slanted up my back, fingers in my hair, pressing my face to his throat. I felt his strength, his warmth, smelled hints of his cologne.
"What happened?"
he whispered.
"Nightmare?"
At that word it came rushing in, and I wasn't strong enough to beat it back. And because I wasn't, I couldn't help myself. I didn't even feel myself do it. But I did it. I burrowed into him, grasping his sweater in my fists, shoving into him like I wanted his flesh to soak me in and take away the fear, the shame, a life that was mostly misery.
"Okay, okay,"
he soothed, his hold on me tightening.
"Shh, I'm right here. Right here, honey."
I gotta build my castle, I told him mindlessly.
"I'm sorry,
but I can't build no more castles. I don't got it in me." I was unconsciously rocking.
"Castles?"
I shoved my face in his throat and kept rocking. "A moat, big studded door no one can break through, stone 3 feet thick, keeping me safe, keeping me safe." I sounded like I was chanting, but it didn't matter. I wasn't even aware of what I was saying. "I built my castles so they can keep me safe." I swallowed hard. It hurt, and it felt like Marcus felt it too, because his arms got even tighter and he took over rocking me. Just in my mind. They were always just in my mind, so they couldn't keep me safe.
"You're safe now."
"I've never been safe." He shifted, his arms folding me into himself so I was a little ball of daisy held closely against him.
"Okay, darling, but you're safe now."
"I want to believe that. I want to believe in castles."
"You'll believe,"
he whispered. "I want to believe."
"You'll believe, Daisy."
I said nothing. His warmth and scent and arms around me, rocking me gently with his body, started penetrating, and I pushed in deeper. The trembling was easing, my mind blanking, my eyelids heavy when I heard Marcus ask,
"In your castle, did you have a Prince Charming?"
And as I gave up the fight, allowed my eyes to close, I muttered, "There ain't no Prince Charming for a girl like me." With that, I drifted to sleep. My eyes opened and I saw daisies, but I smelled bacon. I dropped to my back in bed and stared at the ceiling. The night before, washing over me. Shit, I mumbled. I turned again to my belly, snatching up my other pillow and shoving my face in it. I smelled Marcus's cologne. Shit, I repeated, but it was muffled to come out sounding like shft. I pushed the pillow away, rolled again, tossing back the covers and pulling myself out of bed. I wandered to my bathroom, flipped on the light, and went to the mirror. I looked into it. Well, at least that was good. As any good southern woman should, I had a big head of hair. And like every girl who knew good hair knew, you didn't wash it every day, and with every day you didn't wash it, the natural product God gave you made it look better and better. I was on day 3. My hair looked full. The curls I'd set in it with my hot rollers were still bouncy, but now a bit flippy, and it was cute. Not to mention one of the only good things my mama gave me, radiant skin, looked just that, even if I had a nuance of dark circles under my eyes. I opened a drawer and grabbed some hair ties. Using them, I tamed my curls into pigtails. Then I went about my routine. Brush teeth, floss, cleanser with exfoliation, brush out of lashes, and smoothing of brows. And even though I only had on a pair of silk pajamas, shorts with a deep, deep edge of hollow-out lace and a camisole the same but a shorter edge of lace at the top and cute little cream bows at each hip, the rest of it all in the shade of pistachio, I walked out of my bathroom and right to my kitchen. Marcus was at my stove. He was wearing another V-necked sweater, this one light blue, and another pair of jeans that weren't dark wash, but they weren't faded either. His feet were bare. His hair was slightly tousled, and I wanted to say after the mortification of my drama last night that the sight of him at my skillet in my kitchen looking like that I didn't feel in my coochie. But that was a lie. I totally felt the sight of him looking like that in my kitchen in my coochie. His eyes came to me. Oh, yeah. Right in the coochie. I'd opened my mouth to say something, but at the look on his face, any words got trapped in my throat and I quit breathing entirely. Come here, he ordered gently. My feet took me right there. Still with a fork in his hand, his other arm wrapped around me, and he pulled me close so my front was pressed to his side, his chin dipping into his neck to keep his gaze on me.
Okay,
he whispered. I nodded.
Hungry?
He asked. I nodded again.
Good,
he murmured, giving me a squeeze and turning his attention to the bacon. He was shifting it around in the skillet, and I was watching him do this in a weird haze. But the haze, as hazes are wont to do, even ones you had standing in your kitchen pressed close to a hot guy, cleared. I tipped my head back and started, Marcus. The instant his name passed my lips, he again dipped his chin into his neck and I clamped my mouth shut at the new look in his eyes.
I have a man looking for him. I've hired a private investigator to look for him, and 2 of my colleagues are looking for him. When one of them finds him, they will not take him to the police. They'll bring him to me, and I'll be dealing with him personally.
Oh, my. How are you going to do that? I asked softly.
I'm going to put a bullet in his forehead.
Oh, my. I stared up at him.
In the meantime,
he went on like he didn't just tell me he planned to assassinate my rapist.
Although I figure you know this now, you are not unsafe. You're watched 24/7. I have a man on you at all times. When you're trying on shoes, when you're grocery shopping, when you're up in this apartment watching movies. No one you don't want near you will get near you.
After delivering that, he looked to the bacon and flipped it. I watched him do this wordlessly. When he was done, I felt his gaze come back to me and I gave him mine.
Is that understood?
He asked. Yeah.
Right. Excellent. Next topic. I want you to move into my condo with me.
Uh-oh. No.
Daisy.
Honey, you're being all kinds of sweet. You've been all kinds of sweet, even after I was a bitch to you and you didn't deserve it.
You're going through a good deal.
You still didn't deserve it. He inclined his head, conceding the point like only a gentleman would. Lord. And I appreciate it, I continued. Last night wasn't good, but it happened, and now I can get a lock on it, I promise. Swear. It means a lot to me you stepped up when I called. I feel bad I did that, pulling you from your bed in the middle of the night, but it felt good you stepped up and did it so sweet. But I'll get a lock on it, that's a certainty. So I'm good now, and I'm not moving in with you.
Then I'll move in with you.
Marcus! He slid the bacon off the burner, switched it off, set the fork aside, and then turned fully into me, wrapping his other arm around me.
Last night wasn't not good, Daisy. Last night was bad. The time it took for me to get to you, I could tell with one look at you in that corner you were in hell. After I got to you, it didn't get much better. I'm not allowing that to happen again.
But now it's happened, I can...
I have a guest room. It's nice. You can stay in there. Alternately, if you prefer to be in your own home, since you don't have a guest room set up, I'll sleep on your couch if that's where you wish me to be.
This is...
And you need to talk to someone about what happened to you.
I felt my eyes get squinty. Will you let me finish?
Not if you say things that, I'm sorry, darling, aren't smart. You're not looking after yourself. You're not letting Smithy and Letitia look after you. And since you're not, I'm stepping in.
You've been gone a week, I pointed out snappily.
You needed time, and I assessed from our last conversation, space. I gave it to you. You curled up, terrified in a corner. I'm done doing that.
You don't get it.
No, I don't. You've attempted to explain, and I still don't. Mostly because I never got the concept of bullshit, and I still don't, even when a beautiful woman is trying to feed it to me.
Honestly, I couldn't take any more. And because I couldn't, something snapped in me. It snapped inside, and it snapped me right out of his arms. I took a step back, but lifted my hands and planted them in his chest, shoving him. He rocked back on a foot, but I retreated three, lifted my hand, and jabbed a finger at him. You don't get it! I shrieked.
Then give it to me,
he whispered. The change in his tone didn't register on me. The look on his face, nothing. I forgot my lip gloss. My lip gloss! I screamed. Not my tips, not my phone, not something important. My fucking lip gloss.
Okay, honey,
he said gently. Went back for fucking lip gloss.
All right, Daisy.
Out of the blue! I swung my raised arm wide and dropped it. He jumps me. Do you know how it feels to be somewhere you think you're safe, doing something you got every right to do, and some asshole jumps you?
No.
It doesn't feel real good, I shared. Marcus didn't say anything. I can take a slap. I can take the back of a hand. Daddy taught me that. Not to mention a number of Mama's other men who had that kind of thing honed real good. I watched his jaw get hard. A muscle shift up his cheek, and that didn't register on me either. I can even take a punch. More than one asshole I let in there gave me that lesson.
Christ,
he bit out. I ignored that and the emotion behind it. But that, and what he gave me after he gave me my beating, that I hadn't been taught.
No woman needs that lesson.
Well, I got it, I snapped.
And he'll get his.
Right, with you putting a bullet in his brain?
Precisely.
I cocked my head to the side, feeling my hair move with me, and ground out, You barely know me, and you got that much feeling for me you're willing to take that on your soul?
Yes.
And that, the firmness of it, the simplicity. I rocked back like he'd shoved me.
You don't want me to do that? He didn't rape me. That's your call,
he stated.
I'll have him brought to the police. You don't give a fuck about that asshole? He's dead. At my hand. And I won't take pleasure from it. But it cannot be denied when it's done. It won't give me satisfaction.
Now you are trying to scare me, I accused.
No.
He shook his head.
In my world, actions have consequences. You are far from dumb, Daisy. You know the world I live in. You might not know the rules, but you know there are rules. And no one breaks them. If they do, they suffer retribution as decreed by the laws of the street. He violated my turf, and I mean that in the sense I own part of Smithy's, but he violated something that's just plain mine, and for that, he suffers the ultimate reckoning.
Lord, he was killing me. I'm not yours, I whispered.
Honey, please start paying attention.
At that, I shut up. Marcus didn't do the same.
That's the man I am, Daisy,
he declared.
And that's going to happen regardless of what I say next. Which is, right now, you have one chance. If what I just shared scares you, if it turns your stomach, if it's something that you don't want in your life, I'll walk away. You can have all the bacon and you'll never see me again. But if you don't say, right now, that's something you can't take, then we're sharing the bacon, the eggs I'm going to make, and a whole lot more when the time is right.
At the thought of never seeing him again, I wrapped my arms around my stomach and kept my eyes glued to him. Marcus didn't move. He kept watching me. He did it silently. And as he did it, something settled in him, in his frame and in his face. It was a sight to see, a thing of beauty, and it scared me spitless. After a while, he spoke, his voice just as firm, but a whole lot more gentle.
In terms I hope you'll understand, darling, in fairy tales, the prince vanquishes the wicked queen, the evil stepmother, the malicious goblin. In real life, Daisy, to avenge wrong done to his princess, if the need arises, the prince puts a bullet in somebody's brain.
Yes, killing me. Without me telling it to do it, my mouth whispered, "Why?"
I just explained why.
No, I shook my head. Why me? I asked, and Marcus didn't hesitate even a second to answer.
Because my mother left me when I was 6. She wasn't a loss. She left me with my father, who was a decent enough father, a good man, but a stupid one and very weak. We didn't have much because he wasn't capable of giving me much. But there were more reasons. We didn't live in squalor. However, the little we had wasn't much better. Then when I was 10, he'd gotten himself under the weight of a debt he couldn't repay since he made dick, but he also liked to play the ponies. They busted out his knees first, then they took his thumbs. After that, they took his life.
Oh, my God, I breathed.
He had a daughter from another relationship, my half-sister. She grew up with her mother, and she didn't have much either. The good in my dad, he made sure my sister was in my life. As much as we could be, we were close. When Dad was killed, she was all I had left. And she had a choice. Take me or let me go into the system. She took me on. She was 20. And she put a roof over my head, food on the table, and a lot of love in my life. But the first two things she gave me, she did it stripping.
Understanding dawned. I felt my body jolt, and then I felt my face set. Marcus didn't miss it.
Stop right now thinking what you're thinking.
He clipped out. Hard not to, sugar, I returned.
She married a man 25 years older than her when I was 16. It was a love match. They haven't slept a single night without each other since their wedding, and they retired to Florida 5 years ago. He was definitely a good guy and definitely decent, but he didn't have much either, though he did his best. They retired to a 4-bedroom house with a pool that's in a development that has 3 top-notch golf courses, because I worked my ass off to make certain that would be the way they ended their years together.
I ignored all this, no matter how hard that kind of beautiful generosity was to ignore, and I did it in order to ask cuttingly, "You saving your sister in this fairy tale of yours that you're corralling me into, Marcus?"
"No,"
he answered immediately. But he wasn't done.
I had a mother I barely remember, a trail of women my father couldn't keep, and a sister who loves me maybe more than the 3 kids she had with Doug because we toughed it out together. We had bad times. We had lean times. We had everyone around us treating us like shit because they thought they knew who we were by what she did and how my father was. We had interfering teachers telling themselves they were doing the honorable thing by trying to take me away from her. Most important in all that, we had a family. It was just the 2 of us, but she loved me, and I loved her, and that was all we needed. She gave me a great deal, and right now what you need to know that she gave me is the understanding of exactly the kind of woman I would eventually claim as mine.
And what kind is that?
One who's beautiful, one who's smart, one who's kind, one who's strong, one who doesn't give a shit what people think about her, one who'd do what she could for anyone who asked, no matter if it isn't convenient or easy. One who knows what having nothing feels like so she knows what matters, and to appreciate it when she gets it.
And you think that's me?
No, I know it's you.
You're sure? I scoffed. He looked around the kitchen, and then back at me, lifting up his hands at his sides and sounding exasperated when he asked,
"What do you think I'm doing here?"
I knew what he was doing there. Just for his sake, primarily how much more awesome all that he was telling me made him. No matter how damned stubborn he was being about it, I knew he shouldn't be. I'm sorry you had to go through that in your life, I said with feeling. I get it, and I'm not thrilled to learn that we got a lot in common with the shit we actually got in common, sugar. But just to say, that woman is not me. One second he was 4 feet away, The next second he was in my space, both hands cupping my cheeks, his eyes all I could see.
"I've been waiting 35 years for you to come into my life, Daisy,"
he whispered fiercely. And again I stopped breathing, but Marcus didn't stop talking.
"You can twist it into me wanting to save my sister from the life she had to lead to take care of me, into me wanting a piece of your ass, into whatever the fuck you want to try to twist it into. But since I was a kid, I knew what kind of life I intended to lead, and that was to be so far away from the life I grew up in with my dad, I wouldn't even remember how that felt. And I knew I'd do whatever I had to do to get it, without doubts, without indecision, without remorse. And last, baby, I knew the woman I'd have by my side when I got there. So twist it whatever way you want. I'll find a way to untwist it, because something else I know, when I find what I know without a doubt I want, without remorse, I'll find a way to get it."
I opened my mouth to speak, but froze when his lips brushed mine and stayed there.
"Shut up,"
he said, even though I didn't speak a word.
"Bacon's laying in its grease, and the eggs aren't going to make themselves. So pour yourself a goddamned cup of coffee and relax. We'll have breakfast, and then we'll dance more of this dance later. Right now, I'm hungry."
Marcus was hungry. Hearing that, the fight just left me, and I whispered, "Okay."
"Okay,"
he whispered back, brushing his lips against mine again, staring into my eyes this close, his blue ones warm and sweet and twinkling. Then he let me go and went back to the bacon. Marcus made me put a robe on before he took my hand and walked me to the door. We stood in it like we'd done last Saturday night, except he was a lot closer. Someone was in the mood to be pushy.
"We're having dinner tonight,"
he announced. I rolled my eyes to the ceiling. When I'd rolled them back, his hand was cupping my jaw and his face was even closer, and his damned eyes were twinkling.
"You are beautiful,"
he declared out of the blue.
"You're funny, you're challenging, and by that I mean stubborn, and even if it can be aggravating, I still like it. I very much like your choice of nightwear. I also like your legs, breasts, hair, and eyes. I'd commit murder to hear your laugh again, and I intend to, not a figure of speech, being real. Last but very much not least, I more than like the fact that when I gave you an out, you didn't take it. Even if it's maddening, you don't realize what you not taking it means. But even with all of that, darling, you are a serious pain in the ass."
"Well, I didn't take that out because I didn't want you to think I was judgy," I retorted, and lied, but I wasn't going there even in my head.
"You didn't take that out because you like me,"
he fired back, shifting his hand so it slid to curl around the back of my neck as he curved his other arm around me.
"You know every step of your life was leading you right here. You're the woman for me, which means, darling, I'm the man for you. And you didn't tell me to leave because you know that just the same as me."
"Now you're being cocky, which isn't real attractive, honey bunch." "Another lie, damn it." He grinned.
"More bullshit, more of a pain in my ass."
"You could leave," I suggested. He didn't leave. His hand at my neck moved up to cup my scalp. His head came down, and he kissed me. Soft, sweet, the tip of his tongue traced the crease of my lips, and just when I was about to open them for him, the thought didn't even cross my mind to pull away, and I wasn't going there either. He lifted his head. I opened my eyes. I hadn't even realized I'd closed.
"No,"
he whispered, his grin even more cocky than he'd just been, his gaze roaming my face and doing it with satisfaction so I knew exactly what I was exposing, damn him all to hell.
"I'll leave. Dinner tonight, honey. I'll be here at 7.
"And I'll be in Timbuktu."
"Book into a 5-star, darling. I'll meet you there and I'll pay."
Damn, he had a comeback for everything. I rolled my eyes again. I heard him chuckle, felt his lips touch my nose, then his hold leave me. And I watched him walk down the hall. He stopped halfway and turned back to me. Then he tore something from me. Something that had been fixed to me. Something I didn't ask for. Something I didn't deserve. Something I didn't want. Something I didn't know how to get rid of that was so heavy it was a miracle it hadn't crushed me. And the only reason it hadn't crushed me was that I had help keeping it buoyed up with an apartment full of daisies. He did that by stating,
"If you think your lip gloss is important, it is. You are correct. You have every right in every way in everything to do what you wish to do.
Go where you wish to go. Be what you wish to be. No one has the right to take that away. It isn't the lip gloss. It isn't the man at Smithy's who left his post. It's the fact an animal was loose that night. A monster. And he caught you in the dark. No one is to blame but him. No one should shoulder that but him. And no one will but him.
I stood staring at Marcus, breathing heavily, having had to put my hand up and hold on to the edge of the door while his words sheared a burden the size of a mountain from me.
Do you understand that, darling?
He asked. I nodded.
Good,
he said.
Tonight, Daisy, 7. And if you need anything before then, you know how to contact me or just come down to my man watching your apartment and ask. I don't give a fuck you're about out of coffee. He'll send someone to get it for you.
Oh, my Lord.
Now do you understand that?
He pressed, and that question was important. More important than it seemed. So important my answer was going to change my life. I knew it. I knew it better than I knew the best ways to wrap my hair to give it maximum volume. And in that moment, I had no choice in the answer I gave. I nodded.
Good,
he whispered, his blue eyes warming me from 6 feet away to the point my toes curled in. I was just that toasty. Then he was gone. Chapter 6. Patch of Light. Daisy.
If you're feeling the love for rock and roll tonight at Herman's Hideaway, hit up a new band that's made the scene, Stella and the Blue Moon Gypsies. The lead singer has been rocking clubs in Denver for a while, but she's found her groove with the Gypsies. Trust me, I caught them as an opening act at the Gothic last weekend, and they blew the roof off. To get you into the feel, I'll play a song Stella and her crew kill when they cover it. LaGrange by ZZ Top.
The radio was playing when I was getting ready for Marcus to take me out to dinner. I was a southern girl, which meant I was a country girl. I could kick back to the sound of Patsy, Loretta, Barbara, Tammy, Emmy Lou, Shania, Winona, Trisha, Reba, and the best of all time, Dolly. But there were times in my life when I had to switch to something else with deep southern roots. That's when I hit up my rock and roll. And in my get-up, it was a rock and roll night sure as certain. Obviously, I'd decided to go out with Marcus. He wanted to convince me we were meant to be together. He'd been kind enough to me he'd earned that shot. But he was going to know what he was getting. To this end, I was wearing my leopard print, or one of them. A skin-tight mini-dress that only went down to there. The back was scooped all the way out, and the front was scooped to maximum cleavage potential. And with the maximums of my cleavage, this might be awe-inspiring to some. Heck, it was my cleavage, and it was still that to me. I was going to pair this with my sky-high platform sandals with the black patent across the balls of my feet, open toes to show off the new fire engine red pedicure I'd given myself, along with the same in a manicure, but on my long talons I'd added a curve of amber rhinestones all along one side of the outer edge of each ring finger. The platform and heel of the shoes were covered in leopard. My hair was even more sky-high than my platforms. Teased to mammoth proportions at the top and sides, I'd smoothed that back and then curled the hell out of the rest of my tresses so they fell in soft, defined swirls, from a high-rise at the crown all the way down my back. The bangs were blown out straight and brushing my forehead. My makeup was how I'd do it if I was stripping, which was how I'd do it when I wasn't stripping. My eyes weren't smoky. They were smoke. My skin bronzed, the sides of my nose and under my cheekbones shaded, my cheeks a dewy tangerine, my lips a nudie, super-glossed, glittering peach. I had in bronze chandelier earrings that nearly swept my shoulders and were liberally dosed with black and amber beads. A bronze statement necklace practically covered my upper chest, and I had so many dangly bracelets on if Marcus got through the night without the noise of them tinkling, driving him to murder me, he'd definitely pass an important test. I thought I looked divine. I had a cute little body, fantastic bosoms, a whole lot of thick hair and skin to die for, and everything I'd done to augment it only made it that much better. I also knew that not a lot of people agreed with me, but Miss Hannah Mae had told me to embrace my style when I found it, and boy had I found it, and not to let anyone cut me down. Personally, I thought every woman should have at least one leopard print item in her closet. I didn't care if it was just a clutch, and I also didn't care if that woman usually wore Oxford shirts and loafers. She still needed leopard. If someone didn't agree with me on that, or my platforms, my big hair, and my heavy hand with eyeliner, they could go fuck themselves. This was my thought as I leaned over the basin, whisking on one last coat of lip gloss and listening to ZZ Top when I heard,
Daisy.
I jumped a mile, whirled, and cried, Lord! I also saw Marcus lounging in the doorway to my bathroom. You scared the dickens out of me! I snapped loudly, shoving the wand of the gloss back in the tube. He sauntered in, reached out to my portable, and turned down the music. He then leaned a hip against my bathroom counter like it was his bathroom counter, crossed his arms on his chest, and stated,
I knocked for 5 minutes. To ascertain if I needed to purchase a ticket to Timbuktu, I let myself in. Not easy for you to hear a knock over that music, honey.
It isn't 7 yet, I retorted.
It's 12 past.
I didn't have a clock in the bathroom, and I wasn't wearing a watch, and further, there was no reason for him to lie. So I just did the only option available to me. I formed my mouth into a pout. He grinned at me. If it's 12 past and you knock for 5 minutes, either you're shit at picking a lock or you're late, I noted. His grin became a smile I felt in my coochie. God.
Just something to know about me,
he began.
I'm not shit at picking a lock.
I'll file that away, I replied, but didn't stop speaking. Just something to know in order to just know it. It ain't polite to sneak up on a woman, and it really ain't polite to interrupt her getting ready for your date. His eyes did a sweep of me. I felt that in my nipples. And my coochie.
You're not ready?
I was. I just needed to put my shoes on. I don't have my shoes on.
Not sure shoes can make all that better,
he said low.
But I bet if anyone could manage that, it'd be you.
I tried to remain annoyed. I just couldn't. You've messed up the opportunity to see the full show, I pointed out.
Trust me, darling, when I get it, it won't be unappreciated.
With his response, I finally took him in. He was wearing a blue suit, a crisp light blue shirt, and a silk tie in a blue that was 3 shades darker than the suit and had a matching pocket square. His dark hair was thick. The cut gave him fullness at the top without it looking overly styled, short but not buzzed at the sides and back, and unlike that morning when it was messy and fallen over his forehead, it was now swept back from his handsome face. He looked GQ. I looked like Dolly Parton impossibly created a love child with Peg Bundy. No, I rocked that look. But suddenly, my stomach felt like it was sinking.
Daisy.
My focus returned to him. He'd sensed the feeling I had. How had he done that? No, Marcus Sloan, being scarily adept at tuning himself to me, was something I was not going to think about. Not then, not any time soon, maybe not ever.
Daisy,
he prompted gently. We don't match, I said quietly.
I'm sorry.
You're GQ. I'm Peg Bundy. He gave one nod, declaring,
Yes, and lose the cigarette. Peg Bundy was gorgeous.
I stared. Then I asked, Are you being serious with me? His brows drew together.
Are you being serious asking that question?
I nodded my head and felt my hair go with it. Marcus watched my hair. His lips quirked. Then he looked at me.
She was supposed to be funny. She was in a sitcom.
He reminded me. Right, I whispered.
That didn't make her any less beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I mumbled, wondering if he was real or if I'd slipped into a coma after that jackass raped me. Maybe I'd slammed my head against the asphalt. I didn't feel it happen, but then I wouldn't. I'd have been in a coma.
I prefer blondes, though,
he stated. Lord help me.
You of course know,
he began informatively,
that one of the most attractive things a woman can be is knowing exactly who she is, embracing that entirely, and not giving that first fuck what anyone thinks about it.
You're freaking me out, I informed him right back.
Freak out in the car,
he ordered, leaning into me, grabbing my hand and dragging me out of the bathroom.
I skipped lunch. I'm starved.
I yanked on my hand when we were in my bedroom, but he didn't let go. Though he did stop. "You skipped lunch?" I asked.
"Yes,"
he answered. "You shouldn't skip a meal, sugar. Your body and brain need nourishing regularly to take on the day. My guess, your line of business, you need to stay sharp. Losing focus due to hunger pains, don't say sharp."
Bizarrely, his reply came in a growl. "You need to put your shoes on, get your bag, and get in my car, Daisy."
I again stared at him, doing it this time asking, "Pardon?"
"I'm trying to take this slow,"
he answered.
"You being sweet is not conducive to me taking this slow."
"Yep, right in the coochie. Oh," I mumbled.
"Yes, oh. Get your shoes, your bag, and I'll meet you in the living room."
My head and hair nodded.
"Fuck me,"
he muttered, watching my hair move. He squeezed my hand, let it go, and sauntered out of the room. I got my shoes on, dropped my lip gloss in my bag, and met him there.
"Tell me something good."
I was shifting the stem of the glass of my vodka martini this way and that with my red-tipped fingers. We were at the broker. I'd been hither and yon since leaving home, all in the West, but I'd been in Denver for 5 years. The instant I hit the city limits, the Front Range spread out across the West as far as the eye could see. I knew it was the place where I'd die. I'd always wanted to go to the broker, but I'd never been. It was a date place, a special occasion place, a pricey place, a historic place, a place you went on a night you wanted to remember. I didn't have many of those. And there I was, sitting next to the handsomest man I'd ever seen, the kindest, the gentlest, and the most gentlemanly. This last part in the last half hour, Marcus had exercised greatly. After we'd left my apartment, he'd opened the door of his black Mercedes for me. Ronald was not in attendance that evening. Neither was Brady. He'd opened it again to let me out of his Mercedes. He'd also done the same when he'd let us in the building, and he'd escorted me down the stairs into our booth with his hand at the small of my back. Light, warm, gallant. He'd let me slide in first on the side I wanted, sliding in right beside me, and he'd ask me what I wanted to drink so he could order it for me when the waiter arrived. He'd done the same with my meal. I couldn't hack this. I didn't know what to do with this. It wasn't that this was a surprise. It was just with what happened in that parking lot and Milton to take its place into a past with a lot of other stuff that wasn't all that great. Precisely how it felt was only now hitting me. And what that was the fact that Miss Anna May would adore Marcus Sloan. She might look askance at whatever he did to be able to buy his Mercedes, but I had a feeling she'd overlook that simply with the way he'd murmured sweetly,
"Watch your feet, darling,"
as I'd lifted them into his car.
"Daisy?"
I turned my gaze from my glass to him. He was watching me closely.
"Are you all right?"
"No. And hell yes." I didn't give him either of those answers. I told him, "I've never been here."
"Excellent steaks,"
he murmured, still watching me closely. "It's very nice." Marcus made no reply. "Did you, I tipped my head to the side. "Ask me something?" He turned more fully to me, shifting his bourbon and branch closer to the edge of the table in my direction, his long-fingered hand wrapped around it.
"I'd like you to tell me something good,"
he said. "Okay," I replied readily and launched in. "You look real nice in that suit, sugar. And you got a good haircut. I like it." His lips curled up.
"Thank you, honey. But what I meant was about you."
"About me?"
"About your life."
I tipped my head to the side even as I dipped and twisted my chin, my eyes drifting away from him.
"Please tell me it wasn't all bad."
He sounded like he really wanted me to do that, so I looked at him and shared, "Mama had a man once. He was called Stretch. He called me sweetheart. He had broad shoulders, and even if they were fighting, any time his eyes came to me, he made them sweet. I thought it was like a superpower, him being all kinds of mad at Mama and being able to hide that from me. He used to ask me to go to my room, or if I was in my room, he'd come and close the door so I wouldn't see or hear them fighting. It didn't work, but it sure was nice."
"Yes, that was nice,"
Marcus replied, like it was, but it wasn't. The first part I knew was because at least Stretch had tried. The second was because there was fighting to shield me from. I looked to my martini. When he left, he told me I could call him whenever I needed him.
That's nice, too,
Marcus said softly. I looked to him.
He said it, then kind of took it back because Mama got up in his shit right while he was saying it. I remember it like it was yesterday, and I was 10. But she was screaming and carrying on and shoving him, and he had no claim to me. I knew he wanted to try. I reckoned he liked me, and he looked after me in his way when they were together, but he didn't want her in his life. He was done with her, and I didn't blame him. She wasn't nice to him. She wasn't nice to anybody. She used him mostly to pay the cable bill and the electricity and whatever she could get out of him. I think he did it at first because she was real pretty and he liked her coochie. Then he did it so I'd have cable and light because he just liked me. But to be done with her, I knew he knew, even if he didn't like it, he had to be done with me. So he left, and I never saw him again.
That's not nice,
Marcus rumbled, not appearing real thrilled at my story. I shrugged, looked back to my martini, took in a deep breath, and whispered my finish. Only man of hers I missed when he was gone.
That's all you have that's good?
He asked, not sounding real thrilled at that possibility. I drew in another breath, and as I let it out, I looked back at Marcus and shared the real good stuff. For a spell, my mama worked as a daily girl for a lady named Miss Anna May. When I call her a lady, I mean she was a lady. A fine southern woman who lived in a graceful mansion her beloved but sadly departed husband left to her after he died. A mansion he'd grown up in. So had his daddy and so on for